The first 18 years of my life were spent in the hills of Middle Tennessee, mostly on a little 45-acre hilly farm. I lived in a community that was quite unusual in more ways than one. The church was the only religious group meeting in that community. And I remember during many of those years that every family in that community went to church. There were two or three men that were not members, but they attended every service nonetheless. I began preaching at age 13, and during my teenage years, preached for several smaller congregations one Sunday each month. I had been preaching for several years before I ever owned a suit of clothes. Some of the places where I went to preach, there were men who came to church who did not own anything except bibbed overalls and wore bibbed overalls to the services. I remember one man in particular who, as far as I know, never wore anything anywhere except bibbed overalls, but who told his wife, "Be sure to keep my best pair to go to church. And I want you to iron and starch my best shirt to wear to church." I mention those facts to introduce the lesson today on the subject of appearance. Over the past several months, many comments have been made in conversations where I have been present, expressing concern about what seems to be a trend relative to our appearance in services of the church. More than once in recent days, there's been discussion in my presence about the wearing of shorts, how old a young man ought to be before he begins to grow out of short pants and into long pants. I've been present when there was discussion about the tightness and the shortness of clothing on women. Many other comments have been made which indicate that there is some widespread concern about whether or not we take into consideration how we appear when we are in the public, and particularly when we are in the services of the church. I remember the first summer that I was here in Henderson that I noticed at a particular time that many of our teenagers were not present on Wednesday night, and many of our adults who normally were not present on Wednesday were not there. And it was explained to me that they were going to dirty church. I didn't understand at first, but it was explained that since Mid-South Camp was going on, there was a service there, and people could go there on Wednesday night and not have to be concerned about their appearance. Recently, a statement was made, which maybe has some validity, that the trend is to bring the dirty church into our own assemblies. I say all of that to suggest to you that I personally am concerned. I believe our elders are concerned. I believe many are concerned. I hope I can discuss this subject this morning in a way to make us think. I am concerned about the extremes to which we tend to go. It is possible for us to become too judgmental. Bible does not condemn judging, it condemns the wrong kind of judging. And in John 7, Jesus indicated that we ought to judge with a righteous judgment. It is easy for us to set up our own standards on any subject and judge everybody else from ourselves and become too judgmental. We need to be careful. However, we need to be concerned that we do not allow ourselves to go to the other extreme, that it doesn't matter what others think. Because the Bible clearly teaches that it does matter, and that you and I are to be concerned about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world and having the right kind of influence, making the right kind of impression, even as we have just sung, so that the beauty of Christ can be seen in us. We need to be careful that we do not go to the extreme of being concerned about being seen by others, and maybe making all of our decisions just to be seen. On the other hand, perhaps we need to be careful that we do not go to the opposite extreme of more or less saying, "I don't care," and dressing and acting in such a way as if we did not care. My lesson this morning is not talking about whether or not one wears a suit of clothes and a tie. There are some of you that are here this morning who've never worn a tie in my presence, and I've never thought of you as anything less or as being anything less in the sight of God. I'm not talking about how short is short. I'm not talking about how tight is tight. I'm not interested in trying to define or draw lines. I'm not for sure that I'm capable in some of these areas of knowing exactly where a line should be drawn, especially for others, although I ought to put a great deal of time into thinking about where lines should be drawn for myself. I am interested in trying to get us to look at what the Bible says and to get us to think. Appearance matters. When I began to study on this subject, I ran into another idea that I had not originally intended to put in the lesson, but as indicated in the first point in the outline, God is concerned about when we appear as well as how we appear. We have a song that our young people like to sing that has to do with the deer painting for the water that comes from Psalms 42, verse 1. "As the hart painteth after the water brooks, so painteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" God's word indicates that our appearance, our presence, our being there is important. I mentioned to you the little church where I grew up as a teenager and preteen. As I think back, I don't ever remember anybody in that community who failed to be at every service unless there was something beyond control. We usually had a gospel meeting just after the crops were laid by, and during many of those years would have day services as well as evening services, and the men, even if they were in the field, would leave in time to be at the services and then go back to the field and leave in time to be there that night. There was just never a question as to whether or not anyone would be at every service unless there was something beyond his control. That's not the case with many of us today. Not only do we look at our own situation here, where many times maybe half of those that are here on Sunday morning do not come back for Sunday night, and a large percentage do not stay for Bible study. And this is not just with us. It appears, I was looking at a bulletin the other day where their Sunday morning attendance was 590-something and the evening attendance was 170-something. So I think in the first place, maybe we need to talk about our appearance, our being there. We'll all appear, the word is used, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Colossians 3:4 says we will appear with him in glory. I'm mighty interested in appearing with Christ in heaven, and I think each of you is. But in the same sense, are we interested in appearing, in being there in the services of the church? Tonight our vacation Bible school begins. It runs for four nights. The attendance among the young people is basically the same all four nights. But in looking back at the records of the last few years, the attendance of the adults on Sunday night and Wednesday night may even be two or three times what it is on Monday and Tuesday night. Are we interested in appearing, in being there? 2 weeks from tonight, David Sane will be here in our gospel meeting, and we'll be speaking for four nights. Are we making our plans to appear, to be there? The Bible teaches we are to assemble, to encourage. I think that idea is more there in Hebrews 10:25 than the idea of encouraging to assemble, although it is present too. The early disciples continued steadfastly in their worship to God, and they came together on the first day of the week, seemingly on a regular basis, to observe the Lord's Supper and to worship God. Perhaps we need to think about our appearance a little bit more in that sense, the idea of being there. In the second place, the question is, how do we appear? How do we appear before God? What does God think of when He looks at us? What do others think of when they look at us? And this may be the most important of the three questions. What do you and I think of when we look at ourselves? Are we concerned about our appearance? Someone suggested in my presence just recently that I have never seen anybody go to the funeral home in any way that could be considered indecent. Someone else mentioned that when you look at the dress of our young people when there is a banquet or an important school function, they are interested in their very best. And yet sometimes that's not the case when we come to church. It's interesting that in recent years, most of our prisons have posted a dress code for visitors. They realize even in that setting that one's appearance is important. They do not want visitors going in to visit the prisoners in an appearance that would be provocative, and so they have established a dress code. In many of our public schools in recent years, there has been the development of a dress code. We may have different ideas about that, but I think we can see, amidst all else that is said, that there is concern, and people are beginning to realize in education that the way a person is dressed, in neatness and cleanliness particularly, has something to do with the ability to learn. Those in the business world have recognized this for years. Those who particularly are involved in selling products even tell us that there is a difference in what color is worn as far as being successful is concerned. I know we are on target, folks, when we talk about the fact that we ought to be concerned about how we appear. I believe 1 Samuel 16:7 has been taken out of context. This is where the king was being selected, and where the words are that God looketh not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. I believe if you'll study that, you'll see that he's talking about the height of stature and the countenance particularly mentioned, and that in the context, he's not saying that God is never concerned about the outward appearance, but he's saying that God is concerned not just with the outward appearance, but more so with the heart. Zephaniah 1 verse 8, God specifically said that he was concerned about those who came to offer sacrifices dressed in strange clothing. Now, I don't know exactly what made it strange, but I'm convinced that God was concerned about how his folks appeared even when they came before him to offer sacrifices. There are two basic passages in the New Testament that we usually look at when we're thinking about our appearance. One is in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, addressed specifically to women, but it applies to all of us. Like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. One's adorning is important in the sight of God. I think sometimes we have misunderstood that word modest. Particularly in this case, it was probably talking about overdress instead of not enough. But the idea was that he didn't want anybody to dress in a way that they tended to call attention to themselves instead of being able to call attention to God and to worship God in the right way. And the verse just before it is talking about men leading in prayer. He says, I want you to dress in a modest way. The best definition of modesty that I've ever heard is to dress in such a way that when you have gone, people don't remember what you had on. That may be an extreme, but it has a point. I was in a meeting a couple years ago up in Middle Tennessee, and we had a man that was there at every service. And I believe one night I counted 14 chains, gold chains, that he had around his neck. People left talking more about his chains than they did my sermon. He was certainly not immodest in the sense of promoting lustful thinking, but he was immodest in the sense of bringing attention to himself. And if a person dresses in such a way to bring attention to self, whether it be the lack of apparel or whether it be too much apparel, gaudy, as we sometimes suggest, flashy, whatever it is that tends to bring attention to oneself, that seems to be the problem that is involved. In the text that was read a few minutes ago, talking to wives particularly, he says, be concerned about your adorning. And he went ahead and said, these are not the things that are most important. And I know he didn't mean that we should not consider these at all, because one of them is the putting on of apparel. And I know he's not promoting nudity. But he is saying that instead of considering these in such a weighty matter or weighty manner, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Be more concerned about the heart. And back there in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, after he said to dress in a modest way, he went ahead and explained something that I believe is extremely helpful. He said, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Shamefacedness is the ability to be embarrassed, the ability to blush. Back in the Old Testament, at least twice, God said about his people, they've lost their ability to blush. They've lost their ability to be concerned about their appearance and to be embarrassed about anything. And today you wonder in the society in which we're living if there are not some who have almost reached the nth degree of that, who are not embarrassed about anything. And then that word sobriety is so important. That means sober thinking. He says you need to look at yourself and you need to be sober-minded and consider yourself and how you appear to other people. I believe that's really the point that's involved there, that he's not trying to identify a certain kind of clothing or a certain manner of dress, but he's identifying an attitude which, if a person has, it will reveal itself in one's words, in one's appearance, and maybe in other ways, to suggest Christianity and to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. And so it seems to me that when we begin talking about how we appear and what we wear and how we dress and how we appear particularly when we are with other people, that what we need to emphasize is that hidden man of the heart. Be sure that we have the right attitude, including purity and concern about what others think, and that we have shamefacedness, the ability to blush, the ability to be ashamed, the ability to be embarrassed, and that we have sober thinking. And I'm convinced, folks, if each one of us could understand those ideas and stop and think about those, that our appearance will normally take care of itself. Because if we have the right attitude of heart and we're concerned about what God thinks and we're concerned about what others think, we want to be sure that we leave the right impression, that we never do anything that would cause anybody to have the wrong kind of thinking, and that we dress and appear in such a way that we feel good about ourselves, I believe if we can emphasize those thoughts, that it will control the areas that may be problems in our lives. We want to have services of the church here where anybody feels welcome. I certainly would hope that we never become, in this congregation or anywhere, a group of people who think that in order to worship, a person has got to have a certain kind of clothing, that he's got to have a tie on, or a woman's got to have a certain kind of dress. I would hope that we can approach our services in a way that anybody, in a reasonable way, could come into our services and feel welcome and feel comfortable in worshiping God. And I believe that that can always be the case if we will back up and spend a little bit of time in thinking about ourselves and our appearance and how we appear to other people. I have suggested, particularly to our teenagers, that they invest in a full-length mirror. Perhaps all of us need to. And I mean by that we take the time before we leave the privacy of our own homes to go out to be with people, whether it is in a service of the church, whether it is on the job, a community activity, or whatever it is, to stop and think, what kind of appearance am I making? What kind of impression am I leaving? Do I, by my dress and by my actions and by my words, act and talk in such a way that every person who meets me is going to tend to think more about Christ and purity and morality, or to think about something that is questionable, that might either lead someone to have the wrong kind of thought in his heart or her heart, or might lead someone to think of me in a way that is less than being a Christian? I think, folks, there's where the bottom line is when we get to the point of thinking about appearance. I'm emphasizing appearance in two ways today. Number one is being there. When do we appear? We ought to be at the services of the church, Bible study, and worship when it is reasonable for us to be there. I believe God understands when something's not reasonable. And there are going to be times that we'll need to be elsewhere, but we still need to keep in the back of our minds the importance of the local congregation and being an integral part of that local congregation. And then we need to, all of us, put some personal attention to ourselves. Let's don't be too judgmental. Let's not try to set up a standard and force it on someone else. But let's personally stop and think about the hidden man of the heart, the idea of shamefacedness, and the idea of sobriety and sober thinking. I am convinced that if I am interested in pleasing God, I am interested in trying to leave the right kind of impression on everybody else, and I am interested in living in such a way that Christ can be seen in me and will put some thought to those points, that I will not go far wrong in how I dress and how I appear. And I encourage all of us to do that. I think the answer to the problems that we all face and about which we, I think, have a great deal of concern, I think the answer is in coming back to getting our thinking right and perhaps thinking about who we are and how we appear before God and before others. One of the greatest blessings we have is being able to be a Christian, and particularly being able to influence others for Jesus Christ. And may God help us all to dress and talk and act at all times in such a way that we never put ourselves in front of this, to where we're getting people to think about this instead of leaving us and thinking about us. I guess the bottom line of what I'm saying is we need to do everything we do in a way not to call attention to ourselves, but to call attention to Jesus Christ. And that principle will help us to basically do what is right. Greatest life you can live is that of being a Christian. If you've not been baptized into Christ to be a child of God, or if you've gone astray and need to come asking for prayers, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to remind us of the invitation of Jesus. If you need to accept it, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?
Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
Get seated, please. In just a moment, Brother Hardin, one of our elders, will come and lead us in prayer in behalf of the Kimple family who moved into our area and wish to be an active part of our work. Would you folks stand? Scott, Susan, Amanda, Cal, Rachel. We're glad to have them here. We especially like these big families that move in. Brother Hardin, would you come and lead us?
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful indeed for each and every member of this congregation. We're thankful especially, Heavenly Father, this morning for this family, the Kimples, who have decided to work with us, to worship with us, to serve under the direction of the elders here. Bless each one of them that they may be of service to you and our congregation. Be with us that we may set their proper example for them and take them into our family so that we can all work to someday living in heaven forever. Continued blessings upon us in Christ's name. Amen.
Would at this time be passing in your attendance cards to the inside aisles, and some young men will be coming by to collect those. Some announcements that we're not able to get into the bulletin this morning is that Allison Black, the granddaughter of Ron and Edna Butterfield, has some additional very serious health problems. We need to remember the Butterfield and Black family at this time. In conjunction with Vacation Bible School, we hope that everyone will be able to attend each night. It'll begin tonight at 6 o'clock and then 7 o'clock Monday through Wednesday. Due to the rooms being used for the centers, there is some relocation of the morning classes for the students. Let me have your attention for these. Kindergarten through second grade will meet in their regular classrooms. Third and fourth grade will meet in the old elders' conference room, which is downstairs. The fifth grade will meet in the old office behind the stage. Junior high will be meeting on Fran Davis's porch across the street, and we thank her for that. Senior high classes will be meeting in the annex. So if the teachers would go to their usual classes and direct their students to where they're going to be this morning, we would appreciate it. Also remember that if you signed up to bring cookies, leave those in the fellowship hall or drop them by the office. If there's not any other announcements, we'll be led in our closing prayer.
Please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to